This is Gloria Minot Presents.
She calls it the GOP's campaign to sell its flawed tax bill. Let me just give you a little background about her. It would be comical if it weren't so tragic. This is what one report said. Donald Trump, brought to power by the votes of white men casting their ballots out of economic insecurity, signed a tax bill that takes from the poor and middle class to give to the richest of the rich. The few who stood up and who stand to gain handsomely from this bill, well, most of them are staying quiet, but a vocal handful of America's super wealthy are speaking out, including Abigail Disney. She points out that she did nothing to earn her money other than have the good luck to be born into a wealthy family. And her grandfather and great uncle, who co-founded the Walt Disney Company, couldn't have done so without the distinctly American promise of social mobility, a promise that seems to slip away day by day as the social safety net is ripped apart and a small few hoard their increasing resources. Ms. Disney, good morning and welcome to Community Watch and Comment.
Good morning. How are you?
It's so nice to have you join me. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you. You're a part of the Patriotic Millionaires.
And
you
yes.
You say corporate America and the GOP have embarked on a misinformation campaign to sell their tax bill.
Yes, they have.
And they have concealed what the real costs are. What are some of those costs?
Oh, the costs are enormous. First of all, increasing the enormous divide between the wealthy and everyone else in society. So we've been watching I think of it as water rushing uphill mm-hmm. toward the wealthy for the last 40 years in American life. And this is just going to make this all the more exaggerated, this problem of inequality. So first of all, that's a problem in and of itself. Because it creates antipathy and it creates hatred and it just foments all sorts of social resentment. So that's the first thing. And as money is taken out of circulation, so we already know this morning there's a report, Mother Jones has a report out showing that we have just broken all records for borrowing this first quarter, as compared against anything Obama ever did. So this quarter we've borrowed more than we have in the last 8 years. To cover the deficits that are already developing in our revenues because of this tax bill. So we have increased spending on everything military and security related, and we are going to now, the House and the Senate are going to start attacking everything related to the public welfare, education, roads, Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, everything is going to get attacked. So it's partly that the social safety net is being ripped apart, as you say, but also the rungs of the ladder are being taken off.
Corporations like Walmart, FedEx, Wells Fargo, AT&T, Honeywell have given bonuses to their workers, which you're hearing a lot of applause from these companies about the good that they're doing for their workers.
Yes, it's a bit paternalistic, isn't it?
Yes.
So a bonus, when you think about it, is completely optional on the part of the employer, right? He has no obligation either to give it to you or to justify to you, as a person who should be fairly compensated and rationally compensated for their work, why he's giving that bonus, how much that bonus is, and to whom he's giving it. He's also under no obligation to ever give you a bonus again. So if he's able to afford to give you a bonus in this year because there's a permanent tax cut, then he can afford to give you a pay raise next, so that next year you get the benefit and the year after. It's the most paternalistic. It's like a tip. It's really like a tip. Only a tip is better because a tip is more like 15%. So the workers at Walmart who got bonuses were a handful, a fraction of workers, most of whom had been there for 20 years or more, and who works at Walmart for 20 years or more. And then, on the same day that they announced their bonuses, they also used that day as cover to close, I can't remember how many, Sam's Clubs. Mm-hmm. So, and then, therefore, laying off thousands of workers. So the bonuses are a smokescreen. They are a temporary happy feeling. It's a little bit like a hot fudge sundae. You know, it feels nice, mm-hmm. but then you pay for it down the road. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about taking away one's tips. You know, the president is embarking on a mission of taking away tips from workers and making sure that the owners of the companies they work for have access to do with it whatever they want.
Yeah, which is an extraordinary piece of, again, favoring bosses in corporate America over actual workers. Mm-hmm. So there's been a long sort of campaign as we've listened to the lovers of Ayn Rand talk about the creators of value and the creators of jobs, and therefore, you know, that these are the people who are our titans in society, when we know that none of this exists without workers. Workers matter. Jobs need to happen, and they should be fairly compensated, and they should be secure.
My guest is Abigail Disney. We're talking about the president's tax cut. You just mentioned Ayn Rand. You know, Paul Ryan is a disciple of Ayn Rand's.
Yep.
Over 400 billionaires and millionaires like yourself, including a Rockefeller, wrote a letter to Congress saying you don't want a tax cut. What was the response?
Well, you know, interestingly, it was not that negative, generally speaking, from the world. But, of course, we were, you know, made fun of in Congress. And what often they say, you know, when they get angry at you for saying, you know, there's nothing worse than being a traitor to your class. And the people of your class will say, well, nobody's stopping you from giving it voluntarily to the government. If you really want to give the government your money, you go right ahead and do that, which is on its face absurd, because the point of this is that there are structural inequities and that therefore the solution to those inequities are going to have to be structural as well. So this little making light of what we're talking about is kind of the classic thing that they do, where they first make fun of you as a way of sidelining you. But, you know, from the rest of the world, the response was incredibly positive.
Is paying taxes part of being patriotic?
Of course it is. My gosh. You know, and you go and you obey the law. And there are the effective tax rate that wealthy people pay is so unbelievably low. I mean, often under 20%, very often under 15%. Once they work through all of their exemptions and exclusions and tax loopholes and therefore, and so forth. A person who's working, you know, a regular, you know, decently paid middle class job is paying 28-35%. Who knows what they're paying? But if I'm paying a lower tax rate than my assistant is paying, something is structurally, again, terribly wrong. And I just found out yesterday, I didn't know this before, your bonus is going to be taxed at 40%.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Michael Medved called you a limousine liberal. What would you say to him?
Well, I would say I would be a limousine liberal proudly. I'll wear that on my sleeve. If you're driving in a limousine and you're not a liberal, shame on you.
Some of the patriotic millionaires, who are some of your partners?
Well, yes, there's a Rockefeller. I've gotten a supportive letter from Warren Buffett in this. I know that my friend Charlie Fink is one of them. I'm now blanking on a lot of the names of them, but there are many of us, and I'm embarrassed by the name, I'll tell you.
That's all right.
But the embarrassment is, I think, important, right? I should be willing to be vulnerable and out in public and take my knocks, frankly, because the benefits of me being in this society and getting the luck of being born a millionaire have been so much, you know, have so outweighed any knocks I've ever taken.
And we have not talked about the fact that you come from money, because your grandfather and great uncle co-founded the Walt Disney Company. And of course, you argue that they couldn't have done so without the distinctly American promise of social mobility.
Exactly. And not only that, frankly, you know, in the 1950s, Eisenhower really, truly spent, you know, resources that had been hard won in a very heavily taxed environment and committed them to building a national interstate highway system. that was an engine of enormous economic growth across the 50s and 60s in the United States. That's why we have a huge trucking business. That's why you can make something in Indiana and get it to Florida in a reasonably short period of time. And that's why people got in their cars and drove to Disneyland and got in their cars and drove to Disney World. You know, I can name any number of public investments without which the Walt Disney Company as it currently exists today would not exist.
Do you pay to go to a Disney park?
Okay, I confess that as a granddaughter, I do get in free, but my children don't get in free. The company is drawn in a line there.
It was so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thanks to you so much. What a pleasure.
All right, take care.
Bye.